Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, February 21st. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Got a lot to talk about, like always, right? There's always shit to talk about. It never fails. So we're going to start talking by a little subtle power move by the SEC, kind of digging their feet in the sand, refusing to back down and kind of not dealing with this CFP nonsense. Because if you didn't see, or if you live under a rock, or maybe you're just busy the past 4 or 5 days, the NCAA College Football Playoff Committee came out and basically said, we're not changing anything, not until this contract expires in 2026. So we're going to have at least 4 more years of four teams, a 4-team playoff. And honestly, I see all the arguments, right? But I do believe that there's yet to been a year where a team that absolutely deserved to get in didn't. Right. I can make arguments for 2015 Ohio State. I think we were the best team in the country and would have won the national championship. However, we lost a game. Mm-hmm. So it's different to say the best four teams got in or teams that absolutely deserved to get in got in. Right. It's a different argument. In 2015, we were one of the best four teams, but we might have gotten in, but we absolutely shot ourselves in the foot, and we can only blame ourselves. You can't blame the playoff committee. You can't blame the system. You can't blame the voters or the committee. At that point, you have to look in the mirror and blame yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So even this past year, right, everyone knew that those four teams were the only four teams deserving to go. You can't make a case for Ohio State as much as you might want to as a Buckeye fan. They would not have beat Alabama or Georgia. It wouldn't have happened, not with the defense playing the way it was. But the SEC made a power move and basically said, we're not really worried about the CFP. You know, they're building a mega conference. They're adding Oklahoma, Texas, right? Right around the time that this contract expires for the CFP 4-team playoff structure. And the SEC is kind of pivoting and putting themselves in a place where they could basically say, all right, you guys have fun. We're going to create our own playoff, right? Maybe they'll take the top four teams in the SEC and play a playoff. And then their winner, I guess they kind of will dictate what you get to do, rest of the country, because they run shit. That's what they're doing. And it's apples and oranges, man. It's chess and checkers. Greg Sankey's playing chess. Kevin Warren and these other incompetent fucks are playing checkers, if they're even playing at all. Kevin Warren might not even be playing any games. I mean, he's sitting there twiddling his thumbs, playing with his nuts like, oh, what happened?
He's playing tic-tac-toe, man. He doesn't know what's going on.
He's making TikToks like, and everyone else is like making power moves, right?
Yeah.
It's just it's a real, real shame for the national landscape and the rest of the world. But you know what? More power to the SEC. I mean, they have set the pace for about 20 years now, and maybe not 20, but close to it now. And no one's keeping up. They've earned the right.
That's enormous dick energy right there. Like the SEC is like, you know what? Like, we know we're the best conference. We know we have the most dominant teams. We don't agree with this. We're going to throw our weight around. So you guys come up with your own champion and come play our champion. It's real gangster, dude. That's a real gangster thing to do.
It is real gangster. And I've said it for a long time that the problem is leadership, right? There's no one in a leadership role in any of these other conferences that has that big dick energy. That's like, fuck that. Like that is competitive. I don't even think, I don't think Kevin Warren has a competitive bone in his body. I mean, you look at his body, right? He's a fat fucking lazy guy that doesn't speak with conviction, doesn't have any energy when he talks. Like, it's just, you watch him and you're like, man, talk about uninspired. I am uninspired about the future of Big Ten football with this guy in charge. Simple as that.
If unseasoned chicken could talk, it would sound like Kevin Warren.
It's one of those things where it's like, you're looking at it like, hey man, how about we step our game up here? And how about we like taking it bat, right? Instead of sitting in the dugout, let's step up to the plate and try to swing. Let's try to hit a ball. And he is a man of inaction. That is Kevin Warren. That should be his title. His resume should say a man of inaction. I do nothing when people look at me to do something. That is Kevin Warren. And we're going to see it here in a minute with this wild shit that happened with the Michigan basketball and Juwan Howard. And it's like, man, birds of a feather flock together. I mean, Desmond Howard's out here. Is Desmond Howard going to have to choke a bitch? And then Juwan Howard is going full on Rick James. I mean, bitch slapping people. Is Rick James going to have to smack a bitch? Like, it's just, I guess it's their brand. It's what a Michigan man is. Just an absolute coward. And just I think, and I tweeted this. I do think, and this is probably exaggeration. This is probably a little dramatic. My absolute favorite take from the Bird app that I've seen ever was this notion that this is what happens when, you know, when you put hands on another man, all bets are off. You never know what's going to happen. And it's like, how the justification that this Wisconsin coach, I don't even know his name, don't care. He was, Juwan Howard said something to him about, like, I'm going to remember that shit. Talking about a timeout. So we could break it down fully. It's real simple, right? They were getting their ass beat. They're 30 seconds left, down by 15, game's over. Wisconsin has their bench players in. Michigan has their starters in, and they're full court pressing, like putting pressure on them. Like, for what, right? To prove that your starters are better than Wisconsin's bench. It was just a classless coward move from Juwan Howard. And so Wisconsin wasn't going to get the ball over half court in 10 seconds, so they called timeout to regroup and give those players a chance. It's only fair to the players, right? And Juwan Howard got all pissed off about it. And so whatever the fucking coach from Wisconsin, he grabbed Juwan Howard by the arm to try to, like, talk to him and, you know, argue. It was heated. And I get it. He shouldn't have grabbed his arm, I guess. But what are
we? It was more like, it looked like he was trying to stop him from walking past him. He was like, you're going to address it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, whatever. We want to be a soft ass society. Like, oh, he put his hands on him. It's like, he grabbed his arm. Shut up. Don't be a bitch. But either way, let's say that was out of line. Let's say that was uncalled for and inappropriate. Juwan Howard then smacked a totally different person that did not put his hands on anyone. And we're going to sit here.
That's the funniest part of this whole thing. Like, my man, like, just caught some fire.
He caught a right to the face. Slow-mo was awesome. And you're like sitting here. So I have two thoughts. One, it's like, whatever. I mean, he smacked him. Like, I'm a soft society where we're going to actually, like, make this out to be something magnificently huge. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that went on Twitter and were justifying it by, like, well, don't put your hands on him. It's like, the guy that got smacked didn't. He didn't touch him. How are we going to justify this? And then Juwan Howard's bitch ass goes in a press conference and basically justifies it by saying, like, well, I mean, he escalated it. That's the point that escalated it. It's like, what? Like, what are you teaching your players? In football, it's like, oh, he punched me. It's like, oh, so you punched him back? You get the flag. Second guy always gets the flag. What are you teaching your team? The worst leadership I've ever seen from, well, maybe not ever seen, but horrible leadership by a head coach at a major sports team. It just was. And just, it's hilarious because I even tweeted, like, oh, because Michigan fans been at my neck since I beat my wife, right? And they refuse to look into it, refuse to care about reality. They're taking a stance against assault and violence, right? And I was like, oh, hey, let's see where you guys really stand on assault. Like, actual verified, it's on video. We just watched it. He actually hit him. That actually happened. Not just like what someone typed up on a piece of internet website. Like, we watched it. It happened. Let's see where they stand. And immediately they came firing back. And I'm like, it's so predictable. It's like, oh, you stand on one side until it's something you actually are care about or are a fan of. And then you stand on the other side. Just hypocrisy at its finest.
Oh, dude, this whole thing, if you unpack it, Zach, it's like, first of all, if you're going to stand on your shit, stand on your shit for all the Michigan fans out there. And if you're not going to, okay, we get it. You're bitch made just like your coach. So with this whole thing, if you unpack it, first of all, on the hoop side, for those of you who are not big Ohio State hoops fans, when Ohio State played Michigan late in the game, Juwan Howard didn't have to, but he called a rub it in timeout on his one win. I believe he's 1-5 against Ohio State. Like, he called the timeout. So first of all, he's lame as shit for that. Second of all, why, for someone to expect better from their players, but then you want to slap someone else that's not, didn't even do shit to you, lame. Third of all, if you're going to commit to assaulting somebody, I see, here's the thing. Only people who don't fight throw slaps like that across.
Right.
Because, well, at least where I'm from, you know, shout out 330. If you're going to commit to hitting somebody, that fist is closed and you mean it. Like, that boy threw an open hand like he was a bitch. It's almost, like, a little bit more
trying difficult to accomplish, though.
Yeah, it looked like it was like a slap grab.
I'm just saying,
like, steal his face.
Like, when you throw a punch, Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't a punch, but like mm-mm. in that scenario, like, what are you trying to accomplish? You just got too heated and you lost your mind, blacked out and just like wanted to smack somebody. Like, what do you want to accomplish? Like, if you really, really want to get it going, mm-hmm. like get in there and let's get down to business.
Let's go get active.
And people are holding you back, but I mean,
got those long ass arms. He's a hooper. If he wants to slap someone over a timeout, I saw the tweet. He should have slapped Chris Webber over a timeout if he wants to do all that. That's what Twitter was saying. But it's just so asinine. And then for him to get up there with that smirk, talking about this, that. It's like, oh, you hit an unsuspecting man with his hand down trying to hold somebody else back. You see, the coach was like, that's a flagrant too. Easy. After the game, it's like, it's funny because like the music was playing, the CBS, they're trying to get out of there. And then they say, oh, it's a scrum. And of all the coaches to fight, you pick the smallest one. You want to look big and bad, grabbing the shirt of the smallest guy who was really just trying to be like, hey, like, we won't call timeout if you don't leave your starters in. You know, talking about remember that shit.
It was,
you remember that shit from his couch. Cause you think he's getting fired, Zach?
No chance. Cause he's on the right side of woke media.
It is Black History Month. If he did it in March, it would have been a different story. But
I'm not even going the race route. I'm just saying mm-hmm. It is everything that woke media wants to support, right? It is, well, he shouldn't have touched him first. This old crusty white guy grabbed him and he got touched first. And that's, you know, it's not justified, but it's like, well, don't put your hands on him then. It's like everything that they want to drive is being driven there. And also, Kevin Warren is not doing anything. Michigan's mm-hmm. not doing anything. They're not going to touch this with a 10. They might suspend him. And honestly, he might come out. I mean, they're going to go to the NIT. He wants no part of coaching in that shitbag tournament. He might come out and self-impose a suspension for the season as an apology for, you know, getting upset and losing his temper. And self-serving. He might be like, all right, I'm just going to take the rest of the year off. We suck. I'll come back next year and try again. And it'll be,
if you're Michigan, if you're Michigan, why wouldn't you fire him? Like, Zach, he's not been a good head coach. Like, and now he's just so beloved by Michigan, like the fans, at least. You could fire him right now, avoid any buyout, and go get a real basketball coach instead of a former player. Like, let him go back to the Miami Heat and learn how to coach, because he doesn't know how to coach.
The reality is Michigan, they bend the knee to these celebrity, right? These icons in the history of their program. You watched Jim Harbaugh and the leash he was given. You talk about a long leash, man. He could have walked around the house three times. He could have went in the neighbor's yard and took a shit. Like, that leash wasn't even keeping him where he was supposed to be. Like, it's a long leash. Why? Because Jim Harbaugh was this savior, was this icon for Michigan. And I feel like the board of trustees and the president and the AD, they feel like, well, this guy's bigger than us. Like, we can't touch him. And that's kind of the corner they've backed themselves in with Juwan Howard. Like, yeah, he's not a very good basketball coach, but he's part of the Fab Five. And he's not even the one that called a timeout to lose the national championship.
Shout out Chris Webber. No, I love Chris Webber, man. I love Chris.
I thought it was hilarious that all the memes, like, if Juwan Howard wants to get mad at somebody over a timeout, he probably should bitch slap Chris Webber.
straight up. That's the one that needs slapped.
Right.
And yeah. They're like Michael said in the chat, shout out Michael. They're 14-11, Zach, and they have so much talent. Like, they get talent there because he's a good recruiter, but he's struggling as a coach. I mean, I know he did do a good job last year, but he's just been struggling, and I don't think he's worth the headache, Zach, because now this, I believe, in 2 years is two incidences where he got in two with the coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's done this twice, went after a coach twice. He's like you mentioned, he's called timeout kind of late in the game, which was whatever you want to call it, unprofessional or disrespectful.
It's just Bush League. You're a baseball guy. It's just Bush League.
And, it's Bush League, and it's hypocrisy at its finest, but that's what we get.
Did you see that that Desmond Howard tweet? He said, saw Juwan walking away, and a Wisconsin coach put his hands on him to stop. First mistake. Then an assistant coach inserted himself and said something that only escalated the situation. Let the bosses be bosses and play your position. Second mistake.
I mean, Desmond Howard is and always has been a bitch. We already went over this, right?
Menace bitch of the year.
I mean, he is. He is just a bitch boy. That's what he is. And you knew that this was coming, right? The minute it happened, everyone was like, oh man, I can't wait to see what Desmond's bitch ass is going to say about this. He is just a bitch in every sense of the word. He is. Mm-hmm. He's that guy that If I saw him right now at an event, even though he got real tough on Twitter, he'd be like,
real tough.
Hey, oh, he's like, hey, man, you know, it was just, you know, it's just Twitter back and forth. Like, he's a little bitch, right? He needs the taste smacked out of his mouth. He's fucking riding a college career, you know, a college football career, and thinks he's like some tough guy because he was a good player. That doesn't matter.
He's a Walmart matter. Charles Woodson, as far as I'm concerned, in the media wise.
I mean, he was a great player. You can't take that from him.
No, I'm talking about media wise. He's Walmart.
Oh, he's fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I know.
In the media. Yeah. I mean, and he's, I don't know who enjoys him. Like when he talks, I'm like, this is not entertaining. It's not educational. It's not intelligent. You're not telling anybody anything that gives them any value. Like you have a good smile and you want a Heisman. Sweet. Like, why are you on my TV? Well, he's not, because I won't watch it.
Yeah, but, cool beans. Troy Smith did the same thing.
Yeah, and Troy Smith's a real dude. I know Troy, so that's super the difference. Cool dude. You ain't smacking Troy. If both of them men were in the room and you smack Troy Smith, you're getting your ass whipped. You smack Desmond Howard, he's going to call the police. Like, this is what's going to happen. He's calling the police, and there's going to be a lawsuit. Troy Smith, ain't no lawsuit. Ain't no police. You're going to catch those hands, right? That's the difference in human beings, right?
Closed fist, man. Close
it's
fist.
Just what it is. A bitch is a bitch, right? Desmond Howard is a bitch. I don't know why we got in this comparison, but Troy Smith is not. Like, that's the difference.
Not at all. Yeah, man. That dude was meat riding heavy on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. He sounded like he wanted Juwan to smack him in the face with his dick, dude. I couldn't believe it. I was like, gee whiz. Like,
I could see that.
Yeah, probably. See that. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. I mean, just... God forbid Urban Meyer. God forbid Urban Meyer kick a kicker.
Oh my God. Tell me about it. Urban kicked the kicker, you know, with good intention. Like, he wasn't trying to hurt him. Right. And he is just fired, cast aside, bad guy, horrible human. Desmond Howard open hand smacks an assistant coach from the other team. And it's like, we got all these narratives about like, why that's why you don't put your hands on a man. It's like, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? It's just ridiculous.
I think he survives it. It's Black History Month. I mean, I would fire him.
Hold on. Even. I want to say this though. I think he should survive it. I don't think he should get fired.
I would fire him.
I think we've gone full on soft as a society and as a world. If you're going to fire a guy for that, like, he's a competitor. No,
I would fire him for the contract stuff. I don't think it's really a fireable offense. I mean, I don't care. He didn't hurt anybody.
It was extremely out of line, horrible leadership. I might fire him because he's not a good head coach, and that's another example of that.
Right.
But I don't think a guy getting heated and smacking somebody, I mean, let him pay his penance, let him pay his penalty, right? Whether it's a suspension, a huge fine, whatever it is, and let him still coach if he's a good coach and you want him to be the coach. But he's not. So this smack fest or smackapalooza was just the latest example of him and the fact that he's a bad leader and not a good coach. So if he does get fired, I don't think it's one of those Woody Hayes where you got to fire him because of what he did. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's more of, man, he's awful. And this is just the biggest example of how poor of a head coach and leader he is. So he's got to go.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's fireable, because this is where I'm at with that. It's like, if you wouldn't cut a player from your team for doing it, I don't think it's really fireable for the coach to do it, if that makes
sense. And that's my whole point. I don't think the act in and of itself is a reason you have to fire him. I think that in this specific situation, this act proves the greater issue that he's not any good at his job, and he's got to go.
He's got, yeah. So
I think that's where I'm at. If I was the AD, I would fire him, but it would not be solely because he smacked an assistant coach on the other team. It would be that, man, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. He's really not a good head coach. We need to go a different direction. We need to find a good coach and a good leader. And he's not that. Not because it's not like some reaction to assault. It's more like, this guy just sucks. He's got to go.
Death being pointed at you, Zach. Death being pointed at you. In the next 2 years, do we get another Juwan Howard little incident? Yes or no? Bet the house on it. Fate of humanity on it. If you had
no, to I don't think. I don't think. I mean, he's not a successful basketball coach. So I don't see how 2 years from now he's the head coach at Michigan because of that. Not because he gets fired, you know, solely because of this incident. I just don't think in 2 or 3 years he's still the head coach at Michigan with the.
But he'll be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, because that's how the world works, right? Names are recycled. But I wouldn't hire him to coach Olentangy Liberty High School if I was here. Like, I'm not convinced that he would be a good high school basketball coach. He just everything I've seen from him is like, no, I'm out. Like my kid's not playing for him anywhere. My kid didn't even play basketball, so he's never gonna play for him. Thank God, I can never worry about that one. But
speaking of Cam though, Tom, you know, I got the protein shake. We're going to Planet Fitness. I'm getting ready for him, man. Turns 15. I'm
not trying to hear none of that. He's 12 years old. He's over there with Eric Lichter at Plus Two University to get mm-hmm. that next level training in. He PR'd in the Flying 10 yesterday at 130. Like I'm not, no one is worried about you, Chris.
Look,
no
hey, one. I got my protein.
He's getting
shake.
Trained by the best strength coach I've ever been around.
The receptionist at Planet Fitness knows my name now.
He's like, getting trained by the best receiver coach I've ever met, his dad. I mean, you won't touch him. It's fine.
Oh, that's digs at Brian
Hartline.
Go to
Planet Fitness, do your curls, hit on those sixes, and really hope that in 3 years you have a shot to get a hand on him at the line. That's what it is.
Hey, I'm just saying, man, the receptionist knows my name now. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Hey, and that is going to be your claim to fame.
Yeah, it is. She knows my name, so we're good. And I got the protein shake, you know,
no doubt. Well, I do want to mention.
Before, I love bullying kids.
Yeah, I know you do. You're a child abuser, domestic abuser, child abuser. What a duo on this show. before we move on, I do want to talk about the NFL and the combine. But I do want to mention, if you are here watching live on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, catch us every morning 9 a.m. live on YouTube. Even if you're at work, put it on in the background. You can look at our ugly mugs and listen to the show. But also, while you're here, hit subscribe, hit like on this video, and drop a comment. And the comment I want to know is Juwan Howard a bitch? It's yes or no answer. Just put a Y or N. Is Juwan Howard a bitch? I know the answer. I want to see how many of you agree. But Chris, I saw their draft prospects. I mean, you talk about big dick energy, swinging a stick and power. They basically, the coalition of all the agents that are representing all these draft prospects have basically took a stand against the COVID bullshit quarantine bubble that is surrounding the combine and said, our athletes will not attend if this doesn't go away. And I just think it's so beautiful to see. And it's what I've wanted to see for so long from society, really, to stand up and say, hey, listen, we don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. This is a free country. This is America. You can't tell me I have to wear a mask. You can't. You can't tell me I have to live in a bubble mm-hmm. when I'm watching all these people go to private
the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, private suites at sporting events, no mask, hugging. Like, and I now have to go live in a bubble away from my family so I can go to the combine. Fuck you, NFL. Not going to do it. And it's so beautiful to see. This is the power of democracy, power in numbers, right? They basically said, nope, sorry. Like,
we're not doing it.
Figure out my 40 time another way, douchebag. You're not making me live in a bubble. I want to see my daughter or whatever. Like, and it's beautiful to see. It's a glorious day. Like, I just love to see it.
No, it's huge. And it's like, especially for the athlete's sake, bigger than kind of just like the fact that it's a super free country. It's like these guys are getting ready to try to make generational wealth and draft position, especially for those guys. I mean, so a lot of the guys who go to the combine don't get drafted. This is their chance to be a workout warrior and go from maybe like a fifth rounder to a third rounder. That's a lot of fucking money. And if you're telling them that's going to be hindered by the fact that, you know, they got to be in a bubble where these quarterbacks are going to be out in the parking lot throwing, like they can't go get their work or get with their private coaches. It's like, what the fuck do you want them to do?
Well, and it just goes to show you, right? The power of one is minimal, right? Because if you're that kid that's projected a fifth rounder and you just need the combine mm-hmm. to kind of ramp up your stock and double your income and you know, make dreams into a reality.
Get like, your mom a house, get your family set up.
You have no power. Like whatever they tell you to do, you're going to do, right? Bubble, okay. Quarantine, okay. Whatever I need to do, like I'm trying to make something. That one person is not going to, you know, break the mold and go against the grain and take a stand. But the power of all of them together, mm-hmm. like it's just funny. They look at that now that they've kind of united and unified. They look at the NFL and they're like, "You have no power. We could all go to Miami." And mm-hmm. go out to the Dolphins Stadium and say, hey, we're all going to work out here. Guess what?
Right, cool. Yeah, call Mario Cristobal.
Mario Cristobal is going to be there.
All of them.
Every single one. And they could demand whatever they want. They could say, hey, mm-hmm. all of the scouts that come have to wear thongs and that's it. And guess what? All those bitch-ass scouts would have thongs on, be there charting 40 times. Because guess mm-hmm. who has the power? The players. They just need to unite and unify and become one voice. And the NFL will get on their knees and say, what do you want me to do, daddy? That's just what it is. But they have to realize that and they have to come together. And that's what they did here. So beautiful to see that they're basically telling Roger Goodell to fuck himself. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, fuck himself sideways. Big time move from the agents and players getting together on that. I love it. I love it. I do want to stay in the NFL, Zach. Do you see Brian Flores got a job with Pittsburgh?
It is so, I mean, one, it's awesome. The guy deserves a job. He's a great football coach.
Great. He shouldn't have gotten fired. He should have never gotten fired.
But I think it is so, it's so on brand because the Steelers are that organization, right? The Rooneys, what they've done, just kind of
the Rooney rule.
I was just going to say, and the fact that the rule about, which I actually hate the rule. We've already talked about it, but the Rooney rule that basically caused this whole lawsuit, didn't cause it, but laid out kind of the exposed
problems,
the inner workings of how these owners operate. For him to go to Pittsburgh is so on brand. I mean, what they did with Mike Tomlin, just hiring him, never been a head coach, to replace Bill Cowher. He didn't have much success and they just stuck with him forever. They stuck with him when people were like, God, he's got to get fired, right? And they're like, no, we believe in what he's doing. And sure enough, brings home a Super Bowl. The Steelers have been ultra competitive until they decided to ride with an offensive tackle at quarterback that's, you know, can't move anymore, way past his prime. Big Ben's fat ass. By the way, he raped a chick. I don't know if we want to remember that. Are we still canceling him? Is there a window where you like you graduate from the cancels?
It's like, so once you get canceled, if you just keep doing your job and keep doing it for like 3 or 4 years, like they forget, like Tyreek Hill. I mean, he had that, he got kicked out of Oklahoma State and it's kind of like, okay, well, look, he's like really fucking good. And so then it's like, oh, okay. Like we're good.
What is it? So I got canceled in 2018. Mm-hmm. It's 2022. I'm about my 4 year anniversary. Do I stop getting canceled at some point or do I still, does it never go away?
You know, I think your canceling has slowed down a little bit.
Really,
I think it has slowed down a little bit. This Juwan Howard thing, people coming out of the woodworks, and it's like, oh, you're one to be talking, and it's because you've not owned it, but you've started trolling people on Twitter about it, which makes it even better.
It's the only option at this point, right? Because it's funny to me, right? Like somebody said, didn't you beat or why did you beat your ex-wife? And it's like, oh my God, here we go, year four of this narrative, right? Of this fake news bullshit. And I was like, because she talked back to me. What do you mean? Like, I'm gonna start making jokes and trolling you because you're that dumb, like that you really believe that. But I didn't want to make this about me. But yeah, Brian Flores gets a job.
I think you have 16 more months of being canceled. Then people are gonna be like, well, this podcast is really fucking good. So
yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, I went on a podcast, which I'm actually excited to. I don't know, put out there. It'll be on our Patreon feed for sure. With Brett Adams, a big time attorney here in Columbus. He represented Chris Spielman when he sued Ohio State. He represented Buster Douglas. I mean, pretty much anyone big time in Columbus that has been through anything legal, he's represented them. And he has since, I don't know that he's retired, but he basically is like, all right, he's starting a podcast to expose the legal world and how screwed up it is. And so I was his first guest, go figure.
Awesome.
But it was awesome. It was an awesome show, recorded it on my birthday on Friday. And I think it's going to come out this week. Oh, yeah. I'm not really sure, but I will definitely let you know when it does. But, it's just funny because he's got this podcast. It's never been released, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be big. But iHeartRadio is full on promoting it, like paying to run ads to blow it up. I mean, giving him studio time and all this stuff. And I'm looking at it like, does iHeart know that our podcast is outperforming pretty much everything out there right now?
Number one podcast in Ohio.
Number one podcast in Ohio, and that's without any big media. No backing, right? Mm-hmm. No one pumping it. No one making micro content. Like, it's just us just fighting and doing what we can.
Well, I mean, we're scratching and clawing. I mean, DJ Academic said it, like for the people who scratch and claw and don't get the help along the way. I mean, that's kind of how you get a jump in. And it's like, oh, fuck everybody else. Like, we see these guys come up with some money a little bit from the side. And it's like, no, I'm like fuck that. Like, we're going to scratch.
But that's how you know that I'm still canceled, right? Because these companies and they won't even consider touching it. And at this point, I'm happy with building my own thing. I don't know that I want to have any part of that, but I mean, it's just, they must not like money, or they're just scared of the media mob that would come if it was like, oh, Fox Sports picks up Menace to Sports. Like, I don't know, but
Menace Army knows we're going to get ours. We're going to get ours.
There's no doubt.
So yeah, you do have that podcast that'll be up on the Patreon.
And if you haven't subscribed yet, it's only $5 a month, and we put everything on there, like the Twitter spaces. Our Twitter spaces have been popping every Friday afternoon. Garyon Conley's been in, Tyquan Lewis. I mean, we've had a bunch of people come in and give a different perspective, and they're awesome. It's an awesome time. I enjoy them, and then I always record them and put them out on our Patreon feed, our custom VIP RSS feed that goes straight to your phone. Also, any interview, like any other radio show that I go on or anything we do gets recorded and put on there. So that interview will also, that podcast, I guess, will get put on there. So if you're interested in supporting the show and you want a little additional content, go to patreon.com/menacetosports. $5 a month is the lowest tier, and you get a custom RSS feed right on your phone. You get every show earlier than the public release and additional content. It's worth it.
We're gonna start dropping merch soon, and we're probably gonna let the Patreon subscribers get kind of first dibs at things. And so in the chat, sure, just let us know what kind of way you guys want to see. I know Zach had the shirt on his birthday. I had the hoodie on, and Zach has the hat on now. But again, that's we're probably gonna let Patreon subscribers get kind of first dibs, because we're not gonna pump out a ton of merch, but we are looking to get things going. But we do want to hear what you guys want. What are you guys into? Because me and Zach have super different fashion. You guys couldn't tell.
Yes, yeah, one style and non-style.
Okay, calm down. The Planet Fitness lady knows my name, so obviously I'm doing something right.
Chris impresses at Planet Fitness.
Yeah, you know, Planet Felon in the woo-woo.
Right? Like, what do they say? We are not the same.
Yeah, Eric Lichter has nothing on me. I did want to ask you, Darren Lee went on Twitter and he said he was the best linebacker to ever play for Ohio State. I want to ask you, who's the best linebacker you'd seen play for Ohio State?
Well, now listen, Darren Lee was one of the most talented and most impactful players in 2014 that I've seen play linebacker. It's hard to say.
He was a freak, man.
He's a freak athlete. I mean, but he's in the conversation for the most talented, freakish linebackers to play at Ohio State. But it's hard to not pick James Laurinaitis. I mean, what are we talking about? The guy won. He was like a 3-time All American. He won every award. He was just an absolute ridiculous football player. And you go back to A.J. Hawk, the best linebacker to ever play at Ohio State's Chris Spielman. Okay, first of all.
Yeah,
and you heard that. If it was anyone else, it is James Laurinaitis. Those are the best two. Now, was Darren Lee the most talented and impactful, you know, in that season? Maybe. And if you played him back then, back when Chris Spielman played, he would be one of one, like one of a kind. But, you know, athletes change, the game changes. So he's not wrong in saying he belongs in the debate, but
more talent, Ryan Shazier or Darren Lee?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough.
They're similar. I think they're similar.
They are similar. Darren was a better athlete.
Really? Who's faster?
I don't know. They're both really, really fast for a linebacker. Shazier, I can't even. They're both. I mean,
Shazier's like a 4-3 guy. They had him lining up against Antonio Brown in the Steelers training camp. That's who he was going up against. He was so fast.
I mean, he can run, but so can Darren. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
Those are the two fastest linebackers that ever played Ohio State. No one's even remotely close to those two. And those two be neck and neck. I would love to have seen, you know, obviously Ryan before his injury in his prime and Darren race, because it would have been a sight to see. You'd have seen two guys never run fast. I mean, it would have been awesome to see.
And they're both hyper competitive, man. It would have been super personal for both of them.
Oh, yeah. And everyone knows, I mean, I've had him on the show. I love Darren. And so I guess to his point, he belongs in the conversation. He was unblockable in the slot, unblockable. And my receivers block better than anyone in the country. They just did. And there's no debating that. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you like me. I'm not even trying to be conceited. They just did. That's on them. They did that. I didn't do that. I taught them, but they did it. They block better than anyone in the country. We could not block that son of a bitch at all, ever. He was too quick twitched, too physical, right? Not only could he beat you with speed like a corner, but he could run through you like a linebacker. Like, he was unblockable in the slot. And you watched it against Oregon. I mean, he blew up like three bubble screens where it's like it could have been picked off. Like, where they had like some slot or even a walkout tight end trying to block him, and you're like, stop it. Like, that's never going to happen. He was one of those players that you had to change your game plan for. So he belongs in the conversation, to his point. I don't know that you can convince me that he had a better career than James Laurinaitis, but it is what it is.
Yeah, no, and obviously, I mean, there's different linebacker positions. Obviously, it was just interesting to because I love how supremely confident he is, and I think he's an absolute freak of nature. Like, watching him play was so fun. I mean, he was.
Oh yeah, you're not going to find somebody with higher confidence than him. No, no one.
No, not even Mike Thomas. Like, if I were to like rank confidence,
I mean, I guess that's a good comparison.
Yeah, can't guard him. Well, Zach, I don't have anything else for today. Do you have anything else you want to get into?
No, that's it. I appreciate everybody. We catch us every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. here on YouTube, live on Facebook, live on Twitter. And also, obviously, if you didn't catch it, you can listen. Well, I guess you would be listening now. So it goes out to every podcast feed and our custom RSS feed on Patreon. So appreciate everybody. Menace out.